We received an email letter from Home Office written by Melvin Rhodes. Here is the email that we got. I got November the 15th, November, either November the 16th, we were sent this email. And in reading it, it says it talked about how we have followed God's law as we should have to save for the feast, and therefore we're not in debt because God told us how to save 10% for all the holy days and how to live and how to be prosperous and not be in debt. And that doesn't mean you don't have some debt, but we're not in debt due to going to the feast, or we shouldn't be. And then that's led him into talking about how nations have not followed God's laws on saving and debt, but they chose to overspend, borrow, and excessively. Now, if you follow the news at all, which you should be, Europe's in trouble. It's not only the United States. We're only $16 trillion in debt. When I came into church 44 years ago, we were not a debtor nation. And if you can read in Deuteronomy, it says, if you obey his laws, you will not be a debtor nation. You will give and help. If you don't obey his laws, you will become a debtor nation. And it doesn't take long to look around to see that we have not obeyed his laws. But Europe's also in trouble. I take a financial letter, and it had a great big circle. And it said, now this is Greece's debt, this is Italian's debt, this is Spain's debt, and this is other debt. This big circle is the United States. When you add all those countries over there in Europe, all of them don't equal the debt that we are in the United States. So he was bringing out that we follow these laws. And then he brought up most of the European nations are in debt. Then he said it's not surprising that the Vatican has come out with an 18-page document toward reforming the international financial monetary system in the context of a global public authority. So the Vatican has come up with an 18-page tell to have an international government and with a global public authority. One man read it. The Vatican proposed a solution establishing a world central bank and a global public authority. Now, this would mean an end to 250 years of the Anglo-Saxon domination of world finance. Anglo-Saxon is England and the United States. It's our currency that they use. All countries have to use our countries, or did. China now has made deals with 6 or 7 countries they can trade in between themselves. They don't have to use our country, our money. But when we lose our, not the financial source, we're going to have more troubles than most of you can dream of. And as much as I have studied economics and everything, I don't even see how the problem comes about, but I know it will. The letter goes on to say, this is exactly what is prophesied in your Bible. Now, my question is, that was talking about an end-time financial system in the last days. Do you know this was foretold in your Bible? If so, do you know where it was foretold in your Bible? And if you do, can you prove it? Or are you just following and believing what the church says? Now, Mr. Armstrong said over and over and over, don't believe him. Believe the book. And we better know the book. I am fairly well convinced we're in the last days, and I'll give you some of the reasons why. But in 1 Thessalonians 5:21, it says, prove all things. Hold fast. Prove it all. Don't just believe it because the church says so. And some of you know Angie, that I went to massages, and she asked me questions. And when I answered them, I kept telling her, look it up. Don't believe me. Believe your book. But in 1995, it appears that half of the people were following a man. And that means they were following Mr. Armstrong, and then they were following DeKotch. And when he said all these things are done away with, half of the church was thrilled over it. But we're not supposed to follow a church or this church without proving that the Bible says this. So you don't want to follow me either. In Revelation 17, 18, this is what Melvin Rhodes went on to say. We read of a 10 We read of an end time financial system that is revived and a Roman Empire in a close relationship with a universal false church. Then he mentioned in 1922, Mussolini announced the revival of the Holy Roman Empire. Or it might have just been a revival of the Roman Empire. And he threw that in. Now this statement is made by Melvin Rhodes, this is my opinion, with the assumption that the church congregation knows this and understands Revelation 17 and 18. Then he quoted Revelation 17, 12 through 14. So let's read that. Revelation 17, verse 12. And he said, "The ten horns which thou saw are ten kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. These have one mind. They shall give their power and strength unto the beast. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords, he is King of kings, and they that are with him are called, chosen, and faithful." Now, from that one verse there, he is showing that he says there's going to be a Roman Empire. It doesn't say Roman Empire here. So now you've got to do something if you're going to prove it's a Roman Empire. It says 10 nations will go together. It doesn't tell you where those 10 nations are. Melvin Rhodes refers to it because of the Roman Empire. So this statement is made with that assumption. Now, this says that 10 kings will unite to form the final resurrection, and it's called the beast power. Do you know who or what the beast is? If I would ask you a question, what's the beast? I say this Bible is literal. And Angie, the reason she asked me one day, "Do you think the Bible's literal?" She made a comment about a month before she met me. She'd come to the conclusion if that Bible wasn't literal, she's going to throw it away. And she's been in religious since she was 5 years old, went to religious school and everything. And then I ended up going there to get a massage because I was locked up in my back. And in time she asked me, "Did I think the Bible's literal?" And I said, "Yes." And she asked me again, and I said, "Yes." Then I would answer her questions. Now, sometimes another minister will pop up and say, "Well, it isn't literal. It refers to the beast." Well, that's true. But if the Bible tells me who the beast is, it's literal. But here, as Melvin Rhodes talks, I think, do you people know, not just you, does the church know who these 10 kings are? Where are they located? Are they in Asia? Or are they in the United States? Or are they in Europe? Where are they? Now, this is important to know at this time, because as we go into the last days, there's a lot of prophecies that were to be foretold. And I was telling Freeman when we was out to eat, ate breakfast this morning, when I came into the church, I read it, I believed it, but I didn't want to believe it. So I was going to prove it was right through prophecy. So I studied prophecy. I went out to Pasadena, and Dean Blackwell, he had been going through the Bible study, Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel, word by word. And one of the Rush daughters were out there and wanted me to meet me, but she didn't have any time, so I went into this Bible study with her. And I said, "Boy, this is good." And she said, "Well, they recorded all this, and they sent me all the tapes on Jeremiah, Isaiah, and Ezekiel." Now, I'm telling you, you can't go them through word by word without going through Zechariah. You know, it just keeps referring to it. So, and I taught that in Muncie Church. And so I love prophecy. Now, Mr. DeCotch came along in 1997 and said, "We talk too much about prophecy. We ought to talk about Jesus." Well, let's talk about prophecy. Let's talk about Passover. That was prophecy for about 2,000 years till Christ came. Let's talk about Pentecost. That was prophecy for 2,000 years until the Holy Spirit came. Let's talk about trumpets. You've been there lately. That's about Christ returning. Let's talk about atonement. That's about Christ bounding Satan. Let's talk about the Feast of Tabernacles. That's a thousand-year reign, Christ reigning, we're ruling with him. Then let's talk about the last great day, when all the physical people that's never heard of, not never heard of Jesus Christ, God never called, will be resurrected. My mother, my father, friends that I know, and maybe my wife. I don't know the situation. You don't know me. I've been in the church for 44 years, and she's attended once or twice. She puts up with me, which is understandable now. But it's just the fact that everything's prophecy. The Bible is one-third prophecy. Revelation is prophecy. Are we supposed to know prophecy? The answer is yes. Will it save you? Well, it will increase your faith. The knowledge won't save you. I can have all the knowledge in the world. But if I see things happening in this world, and I see they was foretold in the Bible, then that increases my faith. And I remember telling somebody in Muncie years ago, if somebody come up to me, and I so told this recently, and put a gun to my throat and says, I'm going to shoot you, and I see 10 nations go together in Europe, and Germany's the leader, and I see all these things happen, I said, pull the trigger. I'll be back in about 3 days, you know. So prophecy is important. The Bible is full of it. Christ foretells prophecy. He's a newscaster. So what I'm going to cover today, I'm not going to have the time to get it all done, but I want to cover a few main points. Did you notice here in the last part of this verse, it says, the end of the verse is, those who are with him are called, chosen, and faithful. In verse 14. Now, I feel I'm one of them, and I feel you and this church has been called. Have I been chosen yet? Well, I've been called, but not chosen. Many are called, the Bible says, but few are chosen. Then the Bible tells us the chosen ones are the ones who are faithful to the end. He who overcomes until the end, Matthew 24 says. I haven't overcame everything yet. I'm not Jesus Christ. I hope to be perfect like him one day, but I'll never make it in this time. But those that are called, those that are faithful and are chosen, will be with Christ when he returns. And I said this at a funeral. I never added this to my funeral before, but I had a funeral during the Feast of Tabernacles, and I went through the scriptures, and I said, Mary will be with Christ. I quoted Zechariah 14. Christ will come, and the saints will come with him. And there'll be no more utter destruction, peace and joy. Mary will be resurrected. She'll be with Christ when that is being done. And as I say, I never covered that at the end of a sermon, but I thought, well, I'm leaving after here anyway, so, you know. No, but I just thought it was a time to do it. None of us are saved yet. Now, do you realize that having this revealed Bible knowledge that Mr. Melvin Rhodes was talking about, of what is going to happen to nations in the future, proves this Bible is inspired by the living God and he is in control? The more you know that, the more you better live by what it says. Be patient. Don't get angry. Kindness. Love. We better be developing those things. And this is what encourages me more, as I understand more and more that the prophecy, and I see it happen today. So what I want to do today is I want to prove to you that the living Creator God has inspired this Bible so it will increase your faith in God. So you will live by every word of God. Romans 12 is probably one of my favorite scriptures. Give this body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to the Lord. Make it holy. It's your reasonable service by renewing the mind. You got to have God's mind, not your mind. You got to even to do what was brought out in the sermonette. You got to have the love of God. Romans 5 says the love of God will be spread abroad in your hearts. You can have human kindness, get the Spirit in you, and have godly kindness with it, and Joe will be better than anybody else by doing it. But we have to have God's love. We've got to have God's faith. We've got to have the mind of Christ. And he's got to open it all, and he's got to live in us and do it. What do we got to do? Surrender. He said, it's your reasonable service. And it's been a little hard for me to do at times, but I hope I'm still doing it. Now, especially during these coming holidays, you are going to be tempted, Christmas and New Year's. Satan can always tempt you to do or be a part of something that you maybe shouldn't be a part of. Now, turn to Isaiah 46:9. And if I accomplish no more than just to prove this Bible is inspired by God, and especially prove who Rome is, and then maybe I can finish the rest of it later on. But Isaiah 46:9, it says, remember the former things of God. Now remember, the Bible is literal. It's not assumption, it's literal. Remember the old things of God, for I am God and there is none else. There isn't any other God. He's the only God. I am God and there is none like me. I declare the end from the beginning, from the ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do my pleasure. So God knows the end from the beginning. He knew what the end was going to be with Adam and Eve until the beginning. Now turn to Isaiah 41. Verse 21. And God says here, produce your cause, says the Lord. Bring forth your strong reasons, says the King of Jacob. Well, we understand the King of Jacob is Jesus Christ. He's the one that did the creating. Verse 22. Let them bring forth, and he's talking about their gods and their idols. A translation says, bring in your idols. Show us what you have foretold to happen, and let us see if it came to pass. He said, I want to know if you're gods. He said, there's only one God. He said, show us what shall happen. Let them show the former things in the past, what they shall be, that we may consider them and know the latter end of them. Or we declare us things to come. Then in verse 23, he says, show us things that are to come hereafter, that we may know that you are gods. So, if somebody else tells me about another God, you show me what's going to happen in the future. You show me and tell me what you said was going to happen in the past, and it has happened, then I'll know you're God. So if God tells me in here what's going to happen, then I know that it is God. So let's turn to Daniel 2 and verse 21. And he changes the times and the seasons. He removed kings, he sets up kings, he giveth wisdom and why and unto the wise and under and knowledge unto the understanding. God says, I set up kings and I take down kings. And he gives wisdom. He gives us this wisdom. We don't know. I don't know it until God opens my mind to it. And the knowledge to them that know understanding. So once you have the wisdom and you have the knowledge, God will give you more understanding. And right now, we need that more understanding. Then he says, he reveals the deep secret things. Now, in verse 31, he describes an image. In verse 32, he said, this image was a head of fine gold, and his breast was of silver, and breast and arms of silver. His belly was of thighs, his legs in iron, and his feet part of iron and clay. Then he saw till that stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, which smote the image upon his feet that were of iron and clay, and he broke them to pieces. Now, there's that image that he just described. Now, in this description, if we look down in verse 36, this is the dream, and we'll tell you the interpretation. God says, I'm going to tell you what that dream meant. O thou king of kings, the God of heaven has given you this kingdom. He's given you this power and strength. In the last part of 38, and he has made thee ruler over them all. Thou art the head of gold. Now, then he goes on and says, after thee shall arise another kingdom inferior to thee, and then another third kingdom of brass, and he shall bear rule over the earth. And then in verse 40, and the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron. Now, the only knowledge he gave was a head of gold. That's Babylon. You don't do your homework, you don't know who the other three nations are. God expects you to do something, not just to be told everything. He writes it here a little and there a little. So you better do your homework. Now I'm going to help you do some of your homework here if I can find that. Who those nations will be. Now this isn't something that only I know or somebody. This is knowledge that the world basically knows. And I can't find it here yet. This is it. How many of you remember this magazine, this book that I gave sermons on 10 years ago? It is fantastic. We have literature from the church that tells us what was going to happen. This guy is a politician in England, and he's also a theologist, studies theology. And he wrote this book for England, get out of the European common market. And he studies from that point backwards, and he said, don't you know, don't you remember that Justinian ruled over the common market, and then Charlemagne, and Otto the Great, and then Habsburg, and then Napoleon, and then Hitler and Mussolini. And he's named all six resurrections, and he knows this coming one now is the seventh one. But when I first got this, I was so thrilled. I'm not following Mr. Armstrong. I'm not following anybody. Here's a guy that looked at history and went backwards. And I told this to a minister in Indianapolis, and he's dead now. But he said he read Mr. Armstrong's literature. He busted my bubble. You know, I was so happy. But also I got a letter right here that I wrote Mr. Meredith when I heard Meredith went to visit him. And Meredith asked him that question. He said he never heard of Mr. Armstrong when he wrote that book. But he heard of him since then, but he's never heard of him. But you can also do your homework. I got a history book at home that tells you. I've got a book from Jehovah Witnesses that did their research and they know it. The head of gold was Nebuchadnezzar. That's what God said. History tells you the silver was the Medo-Persian Empire. The brass was Greece, and the legs and iron is Rome. Now, then it talks about no more empires. That's four. But notice that the legs and irons lasted all the way down to the ten toes. So the Roman Empire existed from the time of Rome down through time, and it's going to exist when these ten toes are together. And Christ is going to come back and smash them. Now, Melvin Rhodes quoted in 1922, Mussolini announced a revival Roman Empire. This is provable. I can go through this book. I can go through history. God says, there's a head of gold. What are you guys going to do? How are you going to find it out? Well, you know, we can't do it all, but we can look and see who's smart enough to do history and put it all together. Then we can put it down, and we know that Rome existed then. It lasted down to here. Well, how did it last? Well, you have to go to Daniel 7, and Daniel. But we won't go there right yet. I want to go ahead and go farther here. Now, the interpretation of this dream, and verse 41, whereas thou saw that your feet and toes are part of potter's clay and part of iron, the kingdom shall be divided. So it's talking about the ten toes. It's a kingdom. It says so. The Bible says so. Verse 42, and the toes and the feet were part of iron, part of clay in his kingdom. Verse 44, in the days of these kings, ten kings, God of heaven shall set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom which shall not be left to other people. You know, he'll break in pieces all and consume all these kingdoms. When Christ comes and smashes those ten toes, he's going to set up the kingdom of God. And it goes on to say in verse 45, for as much as thou sawest the stone was cut out of mountains without hands. That must be Jesus Christ. Who can cut a stone out of the mountain without hands? Yeah. And this stone that he was going to break in pieces, the iron and the brass, the clay and the silver and the gold, and this great God has made known to you the king which has come to pass hereafter. This dream is obtained, and the interpretation is sure. And our church has preached that ever since I've been in the church. I go back up, I got to read literature written in 1934. Same message, same message. The message never changed. Going to be 10 nations come up in Europe. Mr. Armstrong seen this in 1930. And I got an article here that says 1954. I was married in 1953. I had no idea. I didn't worry about what Europe was doing or anybody else. But how do we know from that that's going to be Rome? Well, that'll tell you it's Rome. But let's turn to Daniel chapter 7. Now I got to switch something here. I got notes. I started out, and then I started making my notes and an outline, and my outline ended up being the sermon. Then, but we see these four empires of the Babylonian, Media, Persian, and Greece, and Rome. Media, Persian, and one. Then Rome lasts down to Christ come. But that right there tells you what the kingdom of God is. You go in the New Testament, and people say, well, it's a church. It's in your heart. It's the United States. And they come up with all answers. And God says, you know, he tells you what the kingdom of God is. It's when he comes and smashes those 10 toes. And oh, by the way, from the gold head, which is a Gentile, it said, time of the Gentiles. The Bible always talks about the time of the Gentiles. Time of the Gentiles start with Nebuchadnezzar, and they're still going now, and they'll be in the force till Christ comes, and that'll be the end of the time of the Gentiles. Excuse me. I've got a little bit of his cold. I didn't have it till I got up here. No, you all know better than that. But I've had it up for about a week or so. But we see, if we go no farther, except people will look at that and say, well, now, wait a minute. Rome hasn't existed from the time of Rome down to the 10 toes. Well, yes, it has. But I'll show you how. Now, if you go to Daniel chapter 7, verses 1 through 7, he says, I had a dream. Verse 3, he said, I seen four beasts. In verse 3, the first one was like a lion. He didn't say it was a lion. He said, this beast was like a lion. Verse 5, and this second one was like a bear. The third one was like a leopard. And the fourth one had iron, exceeding iron in his legs. Then in the last part of verse 7, it says, and this fourth beast had 10 horns. Now, I can't go all through this today, but what are the 10 horns? Look at verse 24. And the 10 horns out of this kingdom are 10 kings that shall arise. Okay, the Bible tells you he's got 10 horns, so it'll be 10 kings. And another shall rise and be diverse from the three, and he shall subdue the first 3 kings. So now those 3 kings are gone. We got 7 left. We got another little horn here that exists at that time. And we'll look and see how that comes out. And that's talking about 10 resurrections of the Holy Roman Empire. Did they last continually? No. They lasted, went down, they come up, they went down. And in Revelations it said that it was put to death in 456 or brought back in 554. You remember, if you remember in Book 11, it said it's put to death. So, but you need to know this. Now, you don't need to memorize it like I do, but you need to know it so you will know as we're going into the end times, when these things start to happen, this Bible is right. Now, if somebody puts a gun to your throat, they pull the trigger. I'm not saying they'll do that. But the faith that we have to have is the faith of God by renewing the mind, by having the mind of God, the love of God. And it all has to come through God's Holy Spirit. Now, here it talks about four beasts. Well, what are these four beasts? Well, look in verse 17. Well, look in the last verse of verse 16. It says, so he told me and he made me know the interpretation. And that's what they said in Daniel 2. You're going to know the interpretation. These great beasts, which are four kings, or four kingdoms, that shall rise out of the earth. So now we have four kingdoms again. Well, when will this happen? Look at verse 18. But the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever and even forever and ever. When are the saints going to possess the kingdom? You just come back from the Feast of Tabernacles. When Christ comes. There'll be a resurrection. There's no immortal soul. You'll be asleep. When Christ comes, you're going to be resurrected and meet him in the air. And your feet's going to land on Mount Olivet. All the saints are going to be with him. And we're going to help him bring this world to peace. So right here, during this fourth beast, is the fourth king. And that's when the saints are going to be resurrected. Well, if you go back to Daniel 2, 10 toes, Christ is going to smash them. He's going to set up a kingdom. But if we look at verse 13, just to prove it more, I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven. You remember Acts 2, when Christ went to heaven, and they looked up, and an angel come along and said, what are you looking for? And Jesus said, well, he's went, he's going to come back the same way he went. How did he go? He went in the clouds. Right here, come back in the clouds. Zechariah 14, he's going to come in the clouds. You know, so now we have him coming back, and he came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him before him. Verse 14, and there was given him dominion, glory, a kingdom, and all people, all nations, and all language should serve him. So it's talking about Jesus Christ. During the fourth kingdom, Christ is going to come and set it up. So we begin to know that when they're talking about the fourth kingdom, you talk about the ten toes, is Rome, the Roman Empire. And then in the last part of this, his dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and a kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. That's what Joel was talking about. There'll be a time of peace when all of us will be kind and everything. And we know what the holy days are. We hope we do. They're prophecy. Don't be ashamed to know prophecy. So Daniel 2 shows us that the fourth kingdom, with it's going to be in existence when Christ comes, consists of 10 nations with 10 toes. Daniel 7 says these kingdoms are referred to as a beast. Now, I'm going to sort of repeat this here. Melvin Rhodes was talking in Revelation 17. He said they were 10 kings who shall receive power with the beast. Well, now we know the 10 kings are the 10 toes in Roman. We know a beast is these four nations. The last one is Rome. So God calls the European nations or governments beast. Now, they're not animals. They might act like animals, you know. I think Joe was talking about some people go out and spray this. People, we might act like animals, but we're not. But here he explains that the 10 kings is equal to 10 toes in Daniel 2, the Roman Empire. In Daniel 7, it refers to the beast, to the 10, or to the Roman Empire as a beast. Now we know that the beast now is a kingdom. Whose final beast, who is the final beast? It's the Roman Empire. But when you read this, or if you read this, you should have read it. If you read this, did you even know what Melvin Rhodes was talking about? Or did you just look at it and believe it? You got to do more than just know it. How many people do you think in 1995 knew what the church taught? Probably all of them. I don't think I got a... Two ministers that I've ever had in my life are still in the church. They knew this knowledge, but all they did was know it. You got to do more than know it. You got to be so deep that you know it and you want to follow God to the end. This final beast is going to, Christ is going to come at his return and set up a kingdom of God, and he will smash and destroy it. He'll set up a kingdom that will the whole earth never be destroyed. The saints will possess the kingdom, and they are one called chosen and faithful. Now, it has a financial revival, and I'm not going to go through part of that, but I'm going to go through some of it. Now, let's see what the financial success of the beast and the whore had been of these nations. In Revelation 18:2, I want to mention something else here. This was written in 1954. I wasn't in the church until 1968. Started reading The Plain Truth in 65. But I can go up and pull down all these articles. This is written by Meredith, 1954. Germany, the key nation. Germany's hopes Watch for a united Europe. Even as the early, at that time, as the early as last fall, the ministers of the six European countries, six of them went together. 27 together now. 17 of them are on the euro. You have the coin as euro. They called for a quick formation. They want a United States of Europe. Back in 1954, this is what they called Europe. They want a united as the United Nations. It is well known fact that Germany is almost certain to dominate any of the European nations. The prophesied beast of Revelation 17 is destined to rise once more time out of the bottomless pit. The facts disclosed herein point toward the reveal very near future. The servants of the living God, is our job to warn the people the world over what the future holds. Teach them God's true way of life. Live it, God's true way of life. Now, got up this morning and I read a paper. I glanced through the paper. Europe embraces German might. For more than half a century, the legacy of World War II has meant that the mere mention of a new rise of German power sent shudders through the European nations. Now Germany is increasingly calling the shots for the entire continent, and few seem to mind. A Polish foreign minister, whose nation lost millions of people in the Nazi invasion and occupation, shocked many this week when he made a dramatic appeal for greater German influence. Even the Polish are now wanting Germany to take over. You know full well that nobody else, this is what he's saying, you know full well that nobody else can do it, he told a large German audience in Berlin. I will be probably the first Polish foreign minister in history to say so, but here it is. I fear German power less than I am the beginning to fear Germans' inactivity. Prophecy is happening today. You know, but when this thing was written, there were six European nations, and then we got to seven, then we got to eight, then we got to nine, 10, 11, 12. Uh-oh. It didn't happen. Most religious people would have threw it out the window. Nope, same message. He said, it's going to last. Then they put a wall down the middle of Germany. Nope, our church still said that wall will come down. Germany will unite. I'd have quit about the fifth time I was disappointed. We never changed our message. It's true today. And it's happening today. And we better keep our eyes on it. And I take a lot of... I take two financial letters. And I want to read to you what one of them said here. And I just got this one. Europe is talking, you know, Europe's in debt. They're as bad off, not as bad off as we are, but we're in a financial problem. Our church also told that the United States would have a banking problem and cause a recession, and it would go into Europe, and that would force the 10 nations to go together. Well, now they're over there, they're 17. They're talking about pooling European gold from each nation together because they're broke. I mean, a lot of them are busted and they're going to go under. And this financial letter that I take says, pooling European gold reserves is still a bad idea in the absence of a political union. Not religious. This guy just saying, it's a bad idea unless they unite politically. They got the same currency, they got to unite politically. And then he says, and a political union of itself also would be an unsustainable idea. He hadn't read that 10 toes had clay and iron. We know it's an unsustainable idea, but we know it'll happen. And as these things happen, and persecution comes, and our country gets into worse shape, and our dollar reserves is gone, and we are having more financial problems, we have to rely on God. And God will carry us through it. But also, if you have the faith and you know it was going to happen, it just happens easier. But Melvin Rhodes also said there'd be a financial existence in the last time. Look at 18,
2.
In 18:2 it says, and he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon, the great is fallen and has become the habitation of devils. Okay, now here, this European power, this 10 nations, is called Babylon. It has all the traits of Babylon. If you want to do that, get an old book and read what Babylon is and look and see what you have today. Now, in verse 3, for all nations have drunk the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundancy of her delicacy. So when these 10 nations go together solidly, financially, they're going to be a financial success somewhere around the world. And people are going to look at that. Look at verse 4. And I behold, another voice came out of some of this. Is, come out of her, my people. We need to come out of her, and we should have been doing that. And then we look at verse 11. And the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buyeth their merchandise anymore. Other countries are going to prosper because of this 10 nations. We're in an economic decline. We are. Europe is. China's probably the only one that isn't right now. But the rich guys got all the money and all the poor guys don't have any. But anyway, this nation's going to prosper. And people are going to look at that 10 nations and say, look, we were in an economic recession. Look how much we have now. Now, look at verse 12. The merchandise was gold, silver, precious stones, and pearls. Look at verse 19. And they cast their dust on their heads and cried, weeping and wailing. Now see, this 10 nations is going to go down. And when they do, it says, alas, this great city where we were made rich, all that had ships in the sea. Any country that had ships in the sea is made rich. We got a what? Well, my paper today said we're down to 8-point-something unemployment. If you read real financial letters, we got 23% unemployment. You know, they don't count everybody that goes off of unemployment. People, the financial people really look around, they know we don't have a 9% unemployment. But we got to look good right now because there's an election coming. And we're down to 8.4 now. So you better vote for Obama. Yeah. But that's not just Obama, it's politics. They're doing things to bring them about, counting the figures they want to count them. So, and in verse, well, even in 15, you read that the merchants of these things which were made rich by her. So the world is going to be in a rich position. Verse 17 says the same thing. But let's look in verse 20. Rejoice over her, thou heaven, you holy apostles, the people that are holy, rejoice. And you prophets, for God has avenged you on her. God now is going to intervene. God has a purpose. In Genesis 1, he said, let's make man in our image, after our likeness. We all have the shape of God. Eyes, ear, nose, throat. Do we have the image of God? Do we have the character of God? That's why God is creating. He's still creating. The serpent was a physical creation. Right now, he's doing a spiritual creation. And then we're the ones that are called. But he isn't done yet. After the 1,000-year reign, all those people have the image of God. Then we go into the last great day and the resurrection. And I'll get to stand beside my dad's grave. I said, remember when you thought I was nuts, Dad? Look at this 1,000 years when God ruled. Remember World War I that you were in? I didn't make it in World War II. I sort of wish I had. Freeman back there lives in a palace because he was in World War II. The VA is, then on the way here, he told me he's going to go to Marion and they're going to examine his ears for hearing aids. And I said, them cost $2,000 to $5,000. I can't afford them hearing aids. Freeman can. And I thought, what did I do wrong? I wasn't. They didn't accept me. So anyway, that's got nothing to do with this sermon. And that's what gets me in trouble. I like to ad lib a lot. But it says in verse 20 to rejoice. And then look at the last part of verse 23. Let me see good where I'm at now. And I've even lost my page here. Okay. Last part of verse 23. Thy merchants were the great men of the earth, for by their sorceries were all nations deceived, and in her was found the blood of the prophets and the saints and all that were slain. Look at verse 19. After these things, hallelujah, salvation, glory, and honor, and power unto the Lord our God. So we're supposed to have hallelujah. In verse 2 it tells you hallelujah. In verse 5, and the voice came out of the throne saying, praise our God, all you servants and you that fear him. To fear him, we should tremble at the word of God. But then, it should become joy. I look at even my business is by the word of God. I mean, if you live by it, he's got to take care of it. We should be rejoicing. Somebody said the other day, well, why would God let all this happen? If there is a God, why is all this trouble going on in the world? And I asked him, we were just talking about it, and I said, you know, when I was in the Protestant church, I never wondered why everybody went to hell and forever except me and whoever God's going to go to church. We never question it. God, go to hell and burn and burn and burn and burn and burn. Now we look around and say, look what's happening over here. God wants us to learn. And it's a little bit like I told my daughter. I said, when you get ready to do something, Brenda, her name's Brenda, so Brenda's better watch out. So you want to get ready to do something, if you do it, if I tell you not to and you do it, baby, that's your fault. If I don't tell you, that's my fault. But I also know that when she goes out, she's going to do some of them. We're going to do them. God wants us to be so sick of this society that when he comes, all flesh will be destroyed if he doesn't come back. We will know, following Satan's way, following our human nature, following our thoughts, the way we think it ought to be, is wrong. And for us to be help God, we got to be in the kingdom of God, and we got to be sick of this. And we have to see what God is doing. He's wanting to create. This prophecy means nothing if you are not letting him create his image in you. If you're not surrendering to his word, reading his word, and it's when you start to read it, you can just open any chapter in the New Testament, read a little bit, and it'll correct you. It'll tell you when you ought to be doing something. Do you love your neighbor as yourself? You know, how are you getting along with your mother-in-law? I hit a point there. Mine's dead, so I'm all right. So, but I got along with her. One time my wife told me, she didn't, something my mother did, and she said, I'm not going to go to your parents again. Okay, I'm not going to go to yours either. Wait a minute. I said, yours is no cream pie. When I got married and gave her the ring, she told me, she said, Gordon, if you lay one hand on her, I'll kill you. I said, so I started off with the joy, you know. But she'd been mistreated in a marriage. She never would marry again. So she got hurt, and she got hurt bad. And she wanted to be sure her daughter didn't get hurt. So my wife thought, well, maybe it's a good idea that she does go visit my parents, because she wanted me to go to visit hers. So we both did it. My mother ended up living with us when she was ill. My wife took care of her, and we've had a wonderful marriage. But we got to develop the image of God. And the sermonette brought out one point. Every word of God is a point. Ten Commandments is just it says, don't commit adultery. Then Jesus said, don't even look at another woman lustfully. And if you don't look at her lustfully, you're not going to commit it. You know, commandment says, don't kill. Don't even get angry with your brother. He made it tough, but he said, I'll help you. You got to pray for more of God's Spirit. You got to know what this Bible says. Now, what I was bringing out here and wanting you to see, this letter was written like you knew what it said. And maybe most of you do. I don't have the feeling. If this letter was written in 1986, I think we'd have had the feeling. But it got to be watered down and watered down and watered down. And we're sometimes afraid to talk prophecy. I don't know why. Sometimes we're afraid to say Mr. Armstrong. Somebody might say that I worship Mr. Armstrong. I say, no, I'm more than I do Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Peter, Paul, and, you know, Word of God. But he told me to follow the Bible. When I quoted you here, I hope you see that this Roman Empire, these 10 toes, are the Roman Empire. And that's just what Melvin Rhodes said. But do you know it? I hope you know it now. He said there'll be a financial revival. The Bible tells you what's going on. The financial revival's not here yet, but it's coming. But the 10 nations going together, as I read, and Germany as being the head, has been preached ever since 1934. So, if I don't accomplish anything, but you know that that 10 toes represent a Roman Empire, watch Rome, watch Europe, watch the United, watch the paper, and surrender your will to God. And I mean totally. When he tells you to do something, do it. And after you've been in the church, I don't know how many young people are in here, I finally find out I tried something and God said the other way, and I finally found out that, nope, his way works. Now I'm scared not to do it. He'll prosper you financially. Didn't have to make you rich, but he'll prosper you financially, and he'll help fight your battles for you. So I hope this will get you to write home office. Ask for the article on the beast. Who is the beast? Prove to yourself who it is. And then when you see these things happen, you can look up and rejoice because God has opened your eyes. If you see it and know it, I didn't open them. God has opened your eyes.